You know, we Episcopalians are a wordy lot. We love words. I blame the Protestant Reformation for this. Where the word became the middle of things. And I'm a preacher, I'm a writer. I love words, as so many of you do. But tonight, we're going to leave words aside. Tonight, we're being asked tonight to, in a sense, expand our sensory repertoire, our sensory capacities. So let's take the five senses. So, sight and sound. We love sight. And this place, the joy of gathering in this place, in this splendid sanctuary with its organ and the flowers and the candles and the drapery and the... Oh, it's so beautiful here. I'm from Chicago. We got nice things in Chicago. But this is great, this place. And then there's the sound of this place. You know, I tune in every Sunday from Chicago to listen to you all. And not just when my daughter's preaching. I mean, I listen a lot. Because the music in this place and Katie's leadership of this music is just beyond compare. What a magnificent gift you have in the sight and the sound of this place. But tonight we're going to exercise our other three senses. Our other three senses. Although you know, we're all Platonists in a way. Plato said that the best senses were sight and sound because they're the most distant from the material world. But touch and taste and smell are much too close to the body. Well, tonight, it's all about touch and taste and even smell. I mean, taste. I mean, we're used to taste at this table. We're used to that. And in fact, tonight, this Maundy Thursday, we celebrate the establishment of this ritual, this feast, this meal. You know, it's hard to imagine this, but in Jesus' day, the temple was like a kind of huge abattoir. The temple sacrifice of animals, most of the meat got put on the market. Most of the meat got put on the market. People were fed from that table. And then the food was shared all through Jerusalem. And so it was in the midst of all that Jesus gathered his friends up in this upper room. And he turned that sacrifice just upside down. He turned it upside down. And he offers himself, he says, as the sacrifice. But the food that will be shared was the simple food, the staple food, bread and wine, eaten in fellowship and community. And he guaranteed his friends that when they gathered and broke bread and drank wine in his memory, he would be there among us, as we claim he's here among us tonight. Taste. And then there's smell. Well, I watched TV last Sunday. You brought llamas into the place. I mean, it was great, but I'm sure they had that sort of wonderful, sweet llama smell to them. And, you know, you're going to smell a little bit more when we clean that altar and smell the vinegar in the water. And then there's feet. Talk about smell. There's feet. You know, I mean, we'd come back to that in a moment, but, you know, these days, you know, the most dangerous sense is not smell, but touch. Especially in church. Touch. You know, I'm old enough to remember that when Episcopalians were first invited to touch each other in church at the passing of the peace. Does anyone remember that moment? It was charged. We don't touch people in church. It violated everything we thought about our own private spirituality. No, you touch someone. And religion is no longer a private matter. No longer a private matter. And that's what's going to happen tonight. You're going to take off those socks. We're going to smell some feet. And you're going to bring those feet up to the front and do for each other what, to his shock, Peter found Jesus willing to do for him. Now, you know, in those days, unlike these days, exposing your feet before coming into a meal was a common thing. I mean, you had to have somebody wipe the sand off your feet. You wore sandals. It was dirty. Everybody was dirty when they came in. And so you expected the servant to get on his knees and just wash you so that you came in smelling a little sweeter than you might have. So imagine how shocking this was for Peter. How shocking it was when Jesus removed his garment and knelt and acted the part, was the part of the servant, of the slave. Well, no wonder Peter resisted. He resisted even more than the Episcopalians did all those days. We tried to have him pass the peace. Peter resisted this. You will never wash my feet, never wash my feet. We're all with Peter tonight. We're all with Peter tonight. Don't touch me. Don't come too close, Jesus. Don't come too close. And Jesus, I love to think that he just smiled at him and said, I'm going to do this. And I love Peter. Peter's always at the extreme. It's either this side or that side. Okay, Lord, but just wash me everything. Wash everything. No one tonight is going to do that, okay? We guarantee. But you can think about it that way. Because we were all washed in baptism. That's what allows us to be here in the first place. That's what brings us here to this place. Peter resisted, and then he didn't. Okay, so there is no expectation tonight that if you do decide to come forth with bare feet to have Nathan or one of the vestries wash your feet, we're not expecting you to expose any other body part, whatever. Okay, just your feet. Just your feet. I mean, if you've ever been a nurse, you know how amazing it is to have someone take care of your feet. And that's what happens tonight. For most of us, exposing anything of ourselves in church, much less feet, is an act of amazing, even transgressive courage. It's a willingness to take a risk of ridicule, a risk of, how to put it, a risk that you will be rejected. I'm not touching your foot. And yet here in this place, we give our deepest trust to each other. As Peter trusted Jesus in the end, and let's face it, as Jesus trusted all those hapless disciples who would finally desert him, but he trusted them. So your trust in your neighbor tonight as she or he washes your foot or feet is meant to mirror our trust in the one who comes this night to embrace all that we are, to feed us, to touch us. All that he is, he offers to us tonight. All that connects us to the world that God loves, the world in all its beauty and its fullness, every one of our senses is meant to be filled tonight. Smell and touch and taste and sound and sight. And then, in this ancient ritual, each of those senses will be masked one by one by one. No more sight, no more sound. Once we've had the communion at this altar, tomorrow, in the ancient tradition, there is no feast at that table. We reserve the food from this table in order to have some sense of continuity, but it will not be offered there. That altar will be stripped bare and empty, and it will look just like the tomb. And then finally, we will end this night in silence, no sound, as we wait. So, for the next half hour or so, taste and see. Taste and smell and touch and see and hear. Taste and see that the Lord is good. And happy are we who are called tonight to this table. Amen.